Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Today we're talking about who is Vanguard. And I remember back in July of 1996. Do you remember what you were doing then? You go, yes, I wasn't born. Okay. In July of 1996, we had come here for the 4th of July weekend to pray through whether God was calling us to come and start Vanguard Church here. And we made the determination through a series of conversations and through a series of answered prayers that God was calling us to do that. And so we went back and we decided to dedicate each of our lunch hours to fasting from food for lunch and saying to the Lord, do you want us to go? And if you want us to go, when do you want us to go? And I remember one particular day in July of 1996, we were reading John chapter 4, and we were asking the Lord, Lord, do you want us to move to Colorado Springs in September of 1996, or do you want us to wait until January of 1997? Have you ever had one of these moments in your life where you know God wants you to do something, but you're trying to buy yourself as much time as you can? And so we began to read John chapter 4 that day, and in John chapter 4, it's the woman talking to Jesus at the well, and Jesus says to his disciples later on, you say 4 months, September, October, November, December, and then the harvest. But I say, Vanguard, lift up your eyes, for now is the harvest. And so when we read that, we said, okay, Lord, we will move Labor Day weekend to start Vanguard Church in Colorado Springs. So I called Charlie Aiken, who was our associational missionary. He and Evelyn had done church planting up in the mountains of Colorado for 5 decades. And I said, you know what, Charlie? God has called us to come and start Vanguard Church in Colorado Springs in partnership with the Southern Baptist Convention. And here's what Charlie said. That's great, we're for it, but let's wait and see if we can get all the necessary financing before you come. And I said, Charlie, you don't understand. I grew up on a dairy farm in Kentucky with a dad who was my pastor. He was a bivocational pastor, and he never made more than $150 a week in all my childhood full-time pastoring the church. He wasn't a hired servant. He didn't just do it for the hourly rate wage. He was called by Almighty God, and that's who I am as well. And so whether the money ever comes in or not, I'm coming, we're coming, and we're going to start Vanguard Church, and God will show us how to take care of the rest. And so we decided that we needed, since we were moving to the place that it snowed a lot, that we needed to get a four-wheel drive. And so we traded in our 2 vehicles that had basically driven through the potholes of downtown Dallas, and they used to be worse than the ones we have here, by the way. And we needed a new vehicle. We had saved $20,000 through seminary. We had both paid for seminary, but we had also saved $20,000. And we took that $20,000. We used 10 of it to put down on this Isuzu Trooper that we ended up having for about 25 years. And then we said to the Lord, here's $10,000. And we moved here Labor Day weekend 29 years ago and said, Lord, take this $10,000 and turn it into Vanguard Church. Amen. And I want you to know that you're not sitting in the middle of an unintentional accident. This is the plan of Almighty God. And if you join God in His plans, you will be amazed at what God will do through your life. Amen. Evangelist. And we're going to talk today about this final core value, be a steward. Be a steward. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 15. You may not be familiar with the word talent, and so we'll unpack that word today a little bit because it's not necessarily a word that we use very often. For example, we might say, what were the Cowboys thinking when they traded the most talented player on their team, right? Amen? We don't understand. But talent in the kingdom of God is more than just ability. Okay, and we'll unpack that. To one he gave, how many, somebody say it? Five talents. To another, two. And to another, one. To each according to his ability. Now I want to stop there just a second. We all want to believe that God has orchestrated the world to be fair, tilted in our direction. That's what fairness is, right? Fairness is a world tilted to our benefit. If you're honest, that's how I see it sometimes. But God wants you to know that in His kingdom, He gives five talents to some people, two talents to some people, and one talent to other people. And He bases the talent off of, you ready? Your human ability. Huh. Isn't that interesting? And so have you ever thought about what kind of talent you are in the kingdom of God? Because I've thought about this a lot. I perceive that I am a two-talent guy in God's kingdom. You go, well, do you wish you were a five? Well, of course. But you know what? Some days I wish I was nothing. Because what we're going to see is when God gives you talent, He expects you to for Him. And so the question is, are you using the abilities God has given you, regardless of what you do vocationally? It doesn't matter, by the way. Because I had a dad that he earned his livelihood because I milked his dairy cows for him, okay? And I have skills to pay the bills on the farm, all right? God gives you abilities. Now, what are talents? What we'll see, and I don't want to get too far into this, but talents are similar to spiritual gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and you'll see this in the passage in a second, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to lead you into all truth through these gifts that He's going to give you. And the Bible makes it clear that everybody who claims the name of Jesus receives the Holy Spirit and gets at least one gift. Now, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? A gift of the Spirit is something that you have for a lifetime. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit are special moments in your life when the Holy Spirit indwells you with a particular gift to use for a particular purpose for a particular time. And so you may be in a season where you go, you know what? The Lord just used me. He just manifested Himself through me in a way that I'm not used to, and it may go away. That doesn't mean you're bad. That doesn't mean you didn't use it properly. There are things that God's going to do for a time, and there are things that God's going to do through you for a lifetime, okay? And so what are you? Are you a five-talent person, a two-talent person, or a one-talent person? Well, maybe you've never thought about it. So look at what it says here. He went away. So Jesus goes away. The master in this story goes away. This is a parable that Jesus is trying to tell to help them through an earthly story understand a heavenly meaning. And so he went away. And he who had received the five talents, abilities, gifts, treasures, he went at once and he traded with them. And he made five talents more. So he went from a fiver to a tenner. So also he who had two talents, me, he went from a twoer to a fourer. From two talents to four talents. But he who had received the one talent, guess what he did? Well, he went and he dug in the ground and he hid his master's talent. Huh. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to notice here. First of all, when you invest God's talent, God multiplies it by how much? 100%. We'll see this in the passage. If you will take what God has given you, the talents that he has given you. Say, what are those? Could be relationships, they're treasures. Could be finances, could be stuff. There's a myriad of things. There could be certain spiritual gifts that God has given. If you'll take those and you will invest them in the kingdom, God wants you to know that he is going to give you 100% return on your investment into the kingdom. Now look at the promise. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, in the new world, heaven, when the Son of Man, Jesus, will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me, Jesus says, everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or lands, for my name's sake, you're going to receive. Somebody say it. How much? Come on. How much? 100-fold. And not only are you going to get 100-fold, but you're going to inherit eternal life so that you can enjoy the 100-fold forever. That's a pretty good plan. Now, talent could be money, but it could also be other types of blessings, which one of those, obviously, is relationships. God promises to double our blessings, not just there, not just in heaven, but here as well. So when Tasha and I, when we came 29 years ago, we brought that $10,000 with us. Okay, and we could have said, no, that's ours. And, you know, we hope this works out, but that's ours. And we said, no, it's all God's. And so we took $10,000. You say, well, what happened in 28 and a half years? Well, Vanguard now has two locations, and we have an annual budget of $1.1 million. So God took $10,000 and through our faithfulness multiplied that through you all. And now through your faithfulness, we are where we are today. And not only that, but God has given us opportunity, Franco, 3,418 souls have said, I follow Jesus Christ and I want to get believer baptized. And brother, you are one of those 3,418. And you came through the door this morning, like, what are you doing here? You're like, I moved back here. It's like it's fresh from Texas. That's where we came from, by the way. It's a good place to be from, by the way. Thank you. All right. It's good to have you back. When I say 3,418, I don't know how that strikes you, but I start thinking about people, human beings. And I think about the 76 churches that we have partnered with 76 other church planters to plant other churches in order to live out the calling that God has placed on our lives. This past week, I had the privilege of talking with the North American Mission Board, and they prayed the most beautiful prayer over this church in our partnership with them. And they said, let us know how we can partner with you in the future to continue to enable Vanguard to live out the mission that God has given it. We're not just in this by ourselves. We're not just in this by ourselves. And you might say, well, I don't really like that Southern, but I understand. I understand the problems it has, but I also understand that I've not met a family that didn't have any. And we all have family members we don't like, okay? But that they're still family, all right? And that's true in the economy of God's family as well. So each one of us, God has called us, and I don't know if you know this or not, but we sit in a building that's probably worth about $10 million, and we owe about $5.4 million on it, and God has, over the course of time, enabled us to build that equity. This is a massive building with incredible equity as an asset. Each one of us. And this, you may have seen this, I want to talk about this just a little bit. This past year, I sent out 130 packets to many of you and invited you to be a part of the Jessica Legacy Project. Now, what is this? This is a plan for Vanguard to be debt-free by the time we celebrate our 40th birthday, which will be March, I believe it's 1st or 2nd, 2037. And in this, I want you to know that in the last couple of weeks, we got our first response back. So we got 129 to go, okay? And I want to encourage you today to be a part of this. I want to encourage you to, you say, well, why would I want to be a part of this? Because I want to invite you to be a part of something that's going to outlive you and then meet you on the other side. That's what this is about. And I want you to go, well, are you worried? No, hear me. I am not worried about the church's finances. As God is my witness, I am not worried about it. I sat with Ministry Partners, which has been our finance company for the past 20-some years. They financed the original purchase of this building, the original one, and then this one as well, in partnership with ECCU. And our dear friend, Darren, who is the president of this organization, he said, I want you to know that our organization is committed to Vanguard as a viable church, and we're committed to doing whatever we can to make sure that you succeed as an organization in doing what God has called you to do. We'll do whatever it takes. And as Pastor Donnell and I sat with him this past week, he spent half a day here working in one of our offices. God has given us favor as a church. And wherever there's favor, there's always fear. Now, I want you to know something. In your life, you have favor from God. But if you're not careful, fear can turn you into a hoarder. There are so many hoarders in the world. You say, what's a hoarder? Someone that accumulates stuff that has no purpose. It has no purpose. It has no purpose. No purpose whatsoever. And we want to encourage you. We have a stewardship ministry class. You go, you know what? I'm not at a place where I'm ready to do all of this stuff. That's fine. Michael Cohn, Veronica Simpson, Pastor John Ellsbury, Sister Sandy, they lead our stewardship ministry. And listen to me. I'm not just talking to you today about give to Vanguard so Vanguard can do what God's called it to do. I want you to learn how to give to God's kingdom so that you can be a part of something that's going to last forever. Forever. And if you take the stewardship class in January and move to Illinois in May, live it out there. Live it out wherever you go. We're not just for Vanguard. We're for God's kingdom. I don't want to get to heaven one day and go, hear God say, oh, Kelly, you did such a great job of building your kingdom for me. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well done. Thank you for building my kingdom on earth at your expense. So how can we be good stewards of God's kingdom on this earth? Number one, see everything and everyone in your life as from God. See everything and everyone in your life as from God. Everything, okay, everyone. That pretty much takes care of everything, doesn't it? See, I am extremely rich in relationships. Now, if you put on social media, I am extremely rich, you'll get a lot of friends. If you say I'm extremely rich in relationships, people will go, good for you. I remember in 1991, it's been a few days, by the way, I remember Tasha and I climbing up on top of a mountain in Virginia, in Lynchburg, Virginia, and we said, Lord, if you want us to get engaged and married one day, would you let us see a falling star? You say, do you recommend this? Well, of course. If I did it, I recommend it, okay? Maybe not. All right. So we lay back on the mountain, and we look up, and we immediately see two falling stars. We go, okay, well, that's double confirmation, double favor. So we go to the local mall, find the ring that she likes. We buy it. She heads to Virginia Beach. I head to Glasgow, Kentucky to pay for this ring. And within 10 days, she calls me and she says, Kelly, I need to tell you something. I'm like, yes? My parents don't want me to date you anymore. They want me to break up with you. They don't want me to become a pastor's wife. They don't want me to live my life doing that. Okay. And so we broke up. And I spent the summer paying for that ring. And then in about this time, 34 years ago, I drove from Glasgow, Kentucky to Lynchburg, Virginia. Tasha and I went to the fast food place on the East Coast. It's called Hardee's. And Tasha said, what are you going to do with that ring? I said, well, that ring's yours. Whether we ever get married or not, it's yours. I bought that for you. That's yours. And I said, and if God doesn't work it out for us to get married, then I just won't get married. And at that time, Jim Elliot, God was using his writings in my life. I said, I'll be like him. I'll just go to the mission field as a single man and I'll do whatever God calls me to do. And so 4 months pass, December of 1991, and we get permission from Tasha's folks. I drive her to Virginia Beach and I say, listen, I tried to stop loving your daughter. I couldn't. I would like to marry her if you would give me your blessing. And in the course of about a 5 month period of time, which, strangely enough, my mother was killed in the midst of all of this. I was diagnosed. I went blind in my right eye. I mean, there was a lot of just horrible, dark things that happened in that season. And I just want you to know that when the Lord has something for your life, you can expect the devil to have something against it. You got to know that. And I want you to understand something. There wouldn't be five kids and a fourth grandchild on the way unless God did a miracle in 1991. you wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't be here in Colorado Springs. This wouldn't exist. And I want you to understand something, that long before you live out God's calling on your life, He's already planned it out. Before one day was, He knows them all to be. And you may not like some of your days, you may not like many of your days, but I will assure you of this, if you'll hold on, you'll like the ending. You'll like the ending. You'll like the eternal promise and the eternal reward that God has for you. So how do we be stewards? Number two, you invest all your stuff and relationships, by the way. You invest all your stuff and relationships in the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. I want to say that again because it's kind of long. Invest all your stuff and your relationships in the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. Am I glad I did? Yes. Has it cost me greatly? More than I ever thought it would. Do I regret it? Not a bit. Not a bit. Not a bit. See, I've been tithing. You say, what is tithing? Tithing is giving 10%, so the 10 cents of every dollar that I've made in my life. Since I was 8 years old, my dad paid me $10 a week to work in the milk barn. And you got some cheap labor back then. Some good labor too, by the way. And he said, I want to challenge you to give 10% of your money back to God. And so I've done that. I've done that for 46 years. And I want you to know that I don't regret it at all. I don't regret it at all. You go, well, you're just trying to... No, 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 I'm not trying to do anything. I'm telling you what I'm glad I've done. You got to decide. You got to decide in your own life. Nobody can make that decision for you. Nobody can make that decision for you. Nobody can make the decision for you to follow Christ, and nobody can help you make the decision to be obedient to Christ's commands and to do what He commands you. You have to choose that. Matthew 25, 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came, and he settled the accounts with them. And when he had received the five talents, and he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying this, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I've made five talents more. So I've gone from five to 10. Okay. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. Enter into the joy of what? Your master. See, you ain't lived till you feel God's pleasure for you. You ain't lived until you feel God's pleasure for you. And when you feel God's pleasure, oh, like Eric Little, you'll run like a madman. You'll run because you feel the pleasure of God. Verse 22. And he also, who had the two talents, me, came forward. Here's what he said. Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two more. I've gone from a twoer to a fourer. His master said to him, well done. Oh, you mean I don't have to be compared to the one with five? No. God's not trying to compare you. As Pastor John said to me this morning, thanks for being you. I said, well, you're welcome, but I heard everyone else is taken, so I decided to be me. How about you? Why don't you get up today and just make a commitment to God to be you, the man or the woman that God created you to be, not who everybody else wants you to be, not who everybody else thinks you should be, but who God Almighty created you to be. Because I don't know if you know this or not, God's not going to reward you for acting like everybody else. God's going to reward you for being the man or woman He created you to be. He's going to multiply and reward you for being the person He made you to be. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over a much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had received the one talent, came forward. Listen to what he had to say. Little different song and dance here. Master, I knew you to be a hard man. Yeah. Listen, unfaithful stewards are always victims. It's always somebody else's fault that they had to run away. It's always somebody else's fault that they couldn't do what God called them to do. It was always too difficult, too dark, too depressing, too discouraging, too defeating. What is your excuse? Because it's not going to work with God. Because God says that with me, you will do the impossible. Apart from me, you will do nothing. You will run and you will think you will live. But you will die on that day. You will lose your ability to live because you run from who God created you to be. Master, it's your fault. I wanted to be faithful, but it's your fault. He said, you were a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. That's right. That's right. He's speaking truth about what God does. So I was, somebody say it. Come on, say it. I was what? I was afraid. I was afraid to be the man you created me to be. I was afraid to be the woman you created me to be. I didn't like that person. So I reinvented myself so other people would like me. So here's what I did. I developed a false identity. I became what I thought people wanted me to be. And so I went and I hid your talent in the ground, Lord. I wanted to be everybody else except me. So here, at least he got half of it right. He understood that the talent was from God. So here, I give you back today, at the end of my life, what you gave me at the beginning. Because I know that you gave me my life. Here, have what's yours. Did you catch that? Here's the problem with the one talent guy. He never realized he was God's. He never realized he was God's. He understood his stuff was God's. He understood his abilities were God. But he didn't understand that he was God's possession. When somebody asked me, what are your pronouns? Here's my pronoun. His. That's who I am. You say, that's not a pronoun. It's a possessive pronoun. You didn't say what kind. You didn't say it had to be personal pronoun. You said, what are my pronouns? That's what the world's asking. So when the world asks you, what's your pronoun? Tell them, his. My personal pronouns don't matter. My possessive pronoun is who I am. Who I am is his. All my days, I'm his first. The he, she, it, they, them, thou, though, the. What does it matter if I don't know whose I am? Who I am doesn't matter if I don't know whose I am. And I am his. Amen? Amen? And everything about me is his. Master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and you gathered where I scattered no seed. He's right. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own. With what? Interest. God's a businessman. So take the talent from him. and give it to him who has the 10 talents. Huh. So one talent guy becomes no talent guy, so that five talent guy that's become 10 talent guy becomes 11 talent guy. See, if you keep running with the Lord, you'll outrun all the other talented people. Because faithfulness trumps talent in the kingdom of God every time. Every time. Every time. Do you understand? God's not impressed with your talent. You say, how come? He gave it to you. He doesn't reward you based off of your talent. He rewards you based off of your faithfulness to the talents he gave you. And so, I wish I were a five-talent guy, but I'm not. I'm not. I meet people that are far more brilliant, far more gifted, far more smart, far more whatever than me. Yeah. But the superpower that God wants to give every one of us is that no matter what the enemy does to us, he can't get rid of us. Ever. 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 You're not going to back down from praying for your children. You're not going to back down from using the gifts that God has given you. You're not going to stop using every opportunity to declare his goodness to those that want to listen. So take the talent. Give it to somebody else. To everyone who has, he will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has is going to be taken away from him. It seems unfair, doesn't it? The rich get richer, you know, in the world. Well, guess what? The spiritual get spiritualer in God's kingdom. That's the promise. So guy with the one, he got it half right. All belongs to God, but he didn't invest. What did he do? Here's what he did. You either invest your life in the kingdom of God, or you hide it, you hoard it, and you control it. And you call it wisdom when all it is human fear. You can't live, and this is going to be the most important statement I believe that I'm going to make to you today. You cannot live in the favor of God and hoard your life out of fear. You cannot live in the favor of God and hoard your talents out of fear. You got to choose. And so here's the question. Are you going to invest your life in God's kingdom? Or are you going to hoard it and hide it? Because you're afraid, for whatever reason, you can't do it. Do you know how many people blame somebody else because they don't want to have to admit these words? I failed. I would rather fail for God than succeed in the world's eyes. That is the upside down kingdom that God has called us to. And you go, well, you know, if I do it this way, even though my life's miserable, at least everybody will think I'm a success. Oh, okay. Well, that'll be great till you get to heaven, which lasts forever, by the way. And then everybody will find out that you were a hoarder. Number three, choose every day, every day, every day to make your life about his life. Choose every day. Well, I remember when I lived for the Lord, I was so righteous. Really? And now you're self-righteous. Because Ezekiel says that if a righteous man turns and begins to commit wickedness, God will not remember his righteousness. But if a wicked man turns and begins to do righteousness, guess what? God won't remember his wickedness. That's the gospel. The gospel is this: if you think you deserve it, you ain't gonna get it. And if you realize you don't deserve it, it's all yours. It's all yours. It's all yours. God wants to give you his kingdom. And he wants you to pray this simple prayer: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at Matthew 5:16. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Well, I don't want anyone to see what I'm doing for the Lord. Well, unfortunately, the Lord is messing up that plan. He wants you to be public with your faith. He wants you to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He doesn't want you to do it so they'll think you're good. He wants you to do it so they'll know he's good. What are you doing to advance Jesus' kingdom on earth? And you can see this in your program, and I want to read these quickly. Number one, tithe. Give 10% of your income, maybe more. Number two, feed and serve the poor through our local partners, Crossfire and Springs Rescue Mission. Global month is in November. We'll talk more about that. Number three, help start churches. Four, visit the sick. Five, disciple and love on children. Six, disciple and love on students. Seven, disciple women. Disciple men. Share your faith with the lost. Dedicate your children to God, as we saw last week. Dedicate your marriage to God. Dedicate where you live to God. Dedicate your job to God. Dedicate your bank account to God. Serve at Vanguard. If you don't know where, let us help. Serve the community. Use your abilities and experiences to help people experience Jesus' love. Confess your fears and get busy serving Him. Dust off an old dream and get busy pursuing it again. Give seed money to the Jessica Legacy Project so that Vanguard can be debt-free by, should say, 2037. Partner with Vanguard Tri-Lakes in serving the Monument area. Did you know that Marshall Erlin is giving his first sermon ever at Vanguard Tri-Lakes today? Woohoo! You say, what's so big about that? Oh, just the fact that he spent almost his entire life at Vanguard discipling, multiplying disciples, leaders, and churches. He's given his first sermon today. 22, join the stewardship class. You can email Pastor John at care@vanguardchurch.org. That'll start at the beginning of the year.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.